Our top story, Iran's leader has urged Muslims to grasp the opportunity provided by the annual Hajj pilgrimage to denounce the main enemy of Islam, namely the United States.
Today, repudiating the front of polytheism and disbelief made of the arrogant powers, the foremost of them being the U.S., equals refusing the killing of the oppressed and waging wars. It equals condemning the sources of terrorism, including Daesh and the American Blackwater. It is the Islamic Ummah's shout at the child killers of the Zionist regime and their backers and cohorts. It is the condemnation of the United States and their associates' warmongering in the sensitive regions of West Asia and North Africa, who have pushed the nation's pain and suffering beyond limits and who bring them new catastrophes every day.
In a message to Hajj pilgrims, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said that repudiating the U.S. and its allies means refusing arrogant behavior of aggressive and seditious powers against dignified behavior recommended by Islam. Iran's leader also warned the U.S. is pushing for a so-called Deal of the Century initiative against the Palestinian people. He described the U.S. plan as a crime against mankind.
The ploy of the Deal of the Century, prepared by the oppressive U.S. and its treasonous cohorts, is a crime against human society and not just the Palestinian nation.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution added the U.S. plot is doomed to failure. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that today Palestinians are braver than ever in their resistance against the Israeli regime. Iran's leader urged all Muslims, regardless of their thought, race, and language, to help the resistance front and disappoint the enemies of Islam. And now joining us for more on this story is Rodney Shakespeare, commentator and professor that is of economics, joining us from London, and John Stepling, author and commentator, joining us out of Inderøy, Norway. Gentlemen, I want to welcome you both to the program. Now, if I could start with you, John Stepling there. Mr. Stepling, your thoughts on why the Iranian leader is saying that the U.S. is the biggest enemy today to Islam?
Well, I think that's probably correct. I can't imagine anybody would argue with that, actually. I mean, since the beginning of the era of European expansion, colonialism, Britain, France, Spain, and so forth, the conquest of Africa and Arab countries, there's been one key strategic strategy, if you will, which was to destroy any Arab nationalism, any Muslim unity. That was always a very conscious decision. And any time there was a suggestion that any kind of unity was coalescing, the West would act. And most recently, of course, was the murder of Gaddafi. But this was true of African independence, too. There was not to be allowed any real independence or socialism in African countries. And we saw the murder of Lumumba. There are countless examples, of course. So the West, the United States now is sort of taken over the role of global power, and they think of themselves as the key decision maker for things, and they economically wage various forms of warfare on countries. They try to create dependent client states everywhere, and largely they do that. And then if they can't do that, they militarily bully countries, and this has happened again and again throughout the Muslim world. I mean, they still occupy Syria. You look at Afghanistan, you look at Iraq, and today you look at Iran. But, you know, their interference in Iran goes back, of course, 50 years. And it's interesting that recently the New York Times ran an article about the CIA in Iran, and they talked about the coup and the CIA role in it, and they referred to it as a success. I mean, this is the New York Times. So that is the mindset of the U.S. And Western capital in general, I think.
And Professor Rodney Shakespeare, your initial thoughts on this, please.
John has set the background to this of American policy. And American policy in the Middle East is specifically on behalf of Israel and the expansion of Israel into the lands of others. This is an ongoing process of annexation, effective annexation, for example, of the settlements in the West Bank, of the Sheba farms in Lebanon, right the way through the Golan Heights, and effective annexation of East Jerusalem. And this is aggression on a monstrous scale. It's an insult to humanity. It is a crime against humanity. And that is the purpose of American policy. John set the sort of the wider issues, more in the Middle East. It is totally about expanding Israel into the lands of others and destroying anybody who might be effective opposition. So you smash up Libya, you smash up Iraq, you smash up Syria, and what is going on at this moment, you are preparing to create the circumstances in which you can have war against Iran. That is the purpose of this so-called maritime security patrol. It will be to create a false flag situation and immediately to blame Iran, all being done on behalf of the expansion of Israel into the lands of others.
And Professor Shakespeare, both you gentlemen kind of elaborated on who the arrogant powers are when the Iranian leader is mentioning arrogant powers and their arrogance. Now, if you could, Professor Shakespeare, if you could elaborate, actually underscore what is meant here by the word arrogance. What is the arrogance? What is the narrative of the arrogance involved?
The arrogance, first of all, has a psychological component, which says, I or we are superior, and our values are superior, and therefore we have a right to do what we like. Now, if you just take one of those values, liberty and respect for individuals, the one country which has done more killing than all the rest put together since 1945 happens to be the USA. And so you see, when you have this overinflated idea about yourself, which completely contradicts the reality, the word arrogant is perhaps the exact description of this mental illness. But it leads, in fact, to people dying. And it leads to the situation now of what is a very rapidly developing war situation. It's an imperial mindset. It is psychopathic. It believes in its natural political superiority, its economic superiority. It believes in a system in which America has dominance in the air, in space, that's where they're going, in the air, on land, and in the sea, and in politics. It's profoundly out of date, but it is going on at this moment in the Middle East. And the consequences could well be a war right the way through the Middle East.
And Mr. John Stepling, when we hear the Iranian leaders say that the U.S.'s so-called deal of the century for Palestinians is not just a crime against Palestinians, it's not just trying to dupe the Palestinians, but trying to dupe mankind as a whole, what do you think, how do you interpret that?
Well, I mean, he's right, of course. It's a ludicrous non-deal of the century. Kushner, of course, is rabidly pro-Zionist. Trump is pro-Zionist. He's stocked his administration with very pro-Zionist advisors. And this is nothing new. Of course, Bush did it too. The neocons have retained positions of power for 25 years. But we have to be clear that, you know, the Israel also serves the interests of the United States. I mean, Genie Oil has the drilling rights to the Golan Heights. That's an American company on which Cheney and Bill Richardson and various people, Larry Summers, sit on the board. It's a symbiotic relationship, and it serves U.S. interests, U.S. ruling class perfectly to have Israel keep expanding. They don't care about the crimes against Palestinians. Israel could do anything it wanted, and the U.S. will apologize for it. How many vetoes have they issued at the U.N. To shut down any criticism of Israel? But they do the same with the Saudis now, of course, even just as aggressively. I mean, one of the death of irony moments over the last couple of years was Saudi Arabia heading the Human Rights Council at the U.N. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just grotesque. And these are the two principal human rights violators in the world, Saudi Arabia and Israel. The two rogue states, most violent, vicious, unrepentant, and brutal countries in the world, and they're the key allies of the U.S. in the region. But this is American exceptionalism. That arrogance is what you saw with Manifest Destiny, with the Wilson Doctrine. It's always been the way the U.S. thought. It's white supremacism. It's the logic of American expansionism and their feeling of moral superiority.
But John, when you mentioned Israel, you mentioned the Saudis, but there are also other Muslim countries. Israel, the entity of Israel is a country, but I'm saying there are Muslim countries that are actually playing into the division of Islam, right into the White House's and you could say Western playbook to try to sow division among Muslim states. The Iranian leader is promoting unity among Muslims, saying we'll never get anywhere until we unite. Why do so many Muslim countries play right into the U.S. playbook?
Well, you could ask the same question in Europe. Why after the fall of the Soviet Union did so many former Soviet states run begging to the United States to be taken in and granted some sort of position of inferiority as long as they could bask in the glow of American right? It wasn't in their self-interest, certainly. It's not in the self-interest of these other Arab and Muslim countries, and we could each case is a little different. We could talk about all of them at great length, but the America tends to function from a position of bullying and coercion, and that's what they do. They you see it in Latin America now with Venezuela and their support of the opposition. We've seen it vis-a-vis Cuba. So it's nothing new. It's what they do. They bully and coerce.
I don't want to cut you off there, but we only have about a minute left. Your final thoughts there, Professor Shakespeare, before we wrap this up.
Yes. Look up the connection between the United States and Israel and outdated medieval torturing autocratic regimes. And they link up with Saudi Arabia in order to suppress the mass of people. The only democratic nation in the Middle East is, in fact, Iran, which is why they're trying to overthrow it. So, well done, Iran. Help us all in supporting the democratic peoples of this world to stand up for the rights of the people of Palestine so that they can be free in their own lands and can be free of this monstrous blight, which is called Zionism, trying to take away their land and indeed put the Middle East into war.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure to have you on. Professor Rodney Shakespeare from London and John Stepling there out of Inderøy, Norway. Thank you both. And viewers, that's a wrap for this extended conversation on the Iranian leader's remarks.